human. The taste you make in Connor were telling me about how when you go to a party, you have to have a glass in your hand. So I noticed that, I noticed that last night. there was no alcohol in it, still the fact, they had a glass in their hand. Bubbling and standing there. I thought it was very funny at a Krishna party. that's a very good idea. How can you do that all the time? Have them stand there in class. They really feel comfortable after doing this with a certain mentality. But after, right after the yoga ends or something, you're while I'm waiting for them at the venue, you give everybody a glass so they can stand around. Is that it?
Maybe you could while they're waiting for the prasadam.
Yeah, just start talking. And they can go pair off at various tables. I thought that was very good. The place is very nice, very airy and spacious. So, I do want to explain that there are a lot of guests there besides the parents and friends, people you met on Sankirtan. That's good. That's good. So, let's see. Can get some a stir going in life. It's a difficult place to move in on appreciate in the short term. The long term, people come around. It's in the past, it's a long term. What do you think, Andy? It was nice.
Yeah, I like to.
Yes. I'm very pleased by the work of our transcendental craft persons. Worked so hard, they look very tired. Get a rest today. Everybody rest.
Yeah. Rest at the table tonight, or?
What do you have to prepare?
Just the prasadam.
How much prasadam?
Not as much as last night.
I should just prepare something, as you call it, finger foods. Does that be a whole meal? Yeah. With this whole meal. You don't have to feed them. No, ordinarily it'd be nice to offer a feast, but I mean after last night, what do you think?
I only have a few things we can make into double bhakti.
Into what?
Double bhakti. Yes, it means there's lots of prasadam left over that we can try. You create.
Watch your mouth. It's tired. I'm ready to tie. Except honestly,
she didn't work
so hard.
She does.
Huh? She does. His parents seem to have a nice time going by night. Mom talked to R.I.T.'s father. His favorite subject. Science story. You've been talking with him much at all?
Yes, they came to visit our place.
Oh?
Yes.
Our place is good.
Mine in the ashram.
They kind of change. Very shrewd girls. Of course. Will they ever be self-sufficient? Of course, they got help, they asked for it, there's no pressure. Well, he gave without being pressured, He was kind of proud of it, They asked and we ate, there's no pressure. Very nice. One thing I would like established is a strong culture of glorifying Krishna, the holy name. Like in Wellington now, they have 2-hour kirtans on Tuesday and Saturday night. And it really helps get everybody off the mental platform. Doesn't even have to be one person all the time, you have different persons. And when you just go on like that for 2 hours, it really shows you that, you know, so many things that you thought were so important are going to start disappearing. It's by the power of all the name. Attitudes you thought were so crucial start to fade into the background. And you realize, I'm just satisfied chanting. As Carlos can tell you, some of the places we went to, we travel to, you know, festivals, they can go on for hours, right? four hours straight. Which gives you the conviction, right? You can just be satisfied by Hare Krishna. You felt that. Yeah. Best thing, right? You're off the main level. Our purpose is to become purified. If you're smart, you have to stop thinking of your life in this world as a chance to fulfill your desires. If you can figure that one out, you'll save yourself a lot of disappointment. This world is not a place for fulfilling your desires. If you convert this world into a place for fulfilling Krishna's desires, you'll be happy. But as soon as you see this world and its arrangements, can we have some air in here, please? As a place for fulfilling your own desires, you become so morose. You become so morose. Yeah. That might be enough. I see it again and again. Sometimes you always go through these phases. Some never get out of that phase. It's me and mine. You see, there's this false propaganda from Maya that because you have a desire, it must be fulfilled. Because you have the desire. Same garbage. I have a desire, then it must be fulfilled. Yeah. Now, the way that Lucy Energy works is you have a desire, and Maya offers you a false promise. Yes, your desire will be fulfilled. And it doesn't happen. So either you're frustrated after that, you get angry, or you, like a fool, you keep trying. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mudha janmani janmani, birth after birth, you'll be a fool. That's how powerful illusory energy is. So a devotee has to have a healthy respect for the illusory energy. You have to understand how this world works. Not like, you know, kindergarten kids. Oh, I feel this desire. Oh, really? You feel desire? What should we do? You have to be very considerate about yourself and realize that this human form of life is meant for purification. There's no arrangement you can make in this world that will compensate for your own individual endeavor required to be Krishna conscious. There's none. Ashram changes don't do it. You take sannyasa overnight. Getting married doesn't do it. Putting on saffron, being a varanasi, doesn't do it without the individual determination to be purified, no matter what. This I can tell you from 32 years of experience. So once you develop this individual desire for purification, then everything else is secondary. Your ashram status is actually secondary. It's that individual volition, that individual will. Without that individual will, you're going nowhere no matter what ashram you take. You change your cloth this way, that way, whatever. It's not going to work without that individual will. So what we're trying to develop here is that individual will. And to break free of this Kali Yuga grip that just because I feel a desire, it must be fulfilled. This is the new agey stuff. It's actually the old agey stuff. Same old, same old. But what has it done for anyone?
It's like I was talking to Gaurav Deshpande. He used to read the Celestine Prophecy books. Remember? Any of you remember that craze? The nine insights or the tenth insight? Mm-hmm. Any of you read that? You probably, I'm sure you did. Yeah. It was really, about 10 years ago, it was the rage in New Zealand. I remember when I came to New Zealand in 93 to 95, it was the rage. We used to pack our loft in Ponsonby with 30 speculators all coming, paying money to discuss the 10th inside. I lost the office to tell you, maybe Krishna Loka also. 30 of them, most of them come from the North Shore, over the bridge, you know, right? The Ponsonby, you know, opulent speculators. Right inside, the tent. And then all of a sudden, at 95, it just disappeared. That's when we started thinking about yoga, because the Celestine Prophecy speculation ticket wasn't working anymore. So at that point, I think I told Param Sacha to take teacher training as a yoga teacher. So they made such a big deal out of it here. Now, no one cares for it. So I was telling Gorgeous, it's just a bunch of fluff, that's all. He's just trying to remember what it was about. It was about energy. I said, you can't even remember what it's about. It's all. Then I gave him an example, which he can really relate to. I said, it's like, if I want to be a property developer, and I go to WitCalls and get one little small book, property development for dummies and any steps. I said, would that do it for me? He's like, get it. So really, I explained this Celestine Prophecy and all this kind of stuff. It just buzzed people's minds for a while. The author made lots of money. That was the result of it. So, we have something much more substantial. But our devotees have to develop their individual willpower. And then you're ready. As long as you maintain that. Of course, we can't force anybody to maintain their willpower. We'll give you every necessary preparation. And you have to understand the way this world is. It's a contaminated place. You can't just run and stick your head under a rock. You have to learn how to cope with it. Conduct yourself so you don't become contaminated, and you also have to know how to wash off. Prabhupada recognized that preaching in the West involves contamination. So therefore he's eager that those who are preaching, those who are on the front lines, they go to India regularly and just wash off. So I'm sure you've all got that feeling when it's all done, all the stuff you accumulated from preaching interaction, all the germs just washed off. So that's the process. Preaching involves all sorts of, you're dealing with sick people, and so sometimes the germs attack you. You have to know how to deal with that. I don't know, but the funny something funny. What is it? I think 1980 or something. It's opening up. Preaching in Denmark. Back then, it was famous as a wild place, even more than Germany. Is Denmark still famous for being wild, or it's all the same now?
I think it's still the same.
Yeah. But back then, even the Germans would talk about Denmark. But just completely atheistic country. Just no holds barred. So, I remember we went to a preaching engagement. I and a couple of new brahmacharis.
We're having a kirtan. And, oh, yeah, we had the first Ramacharini had joined. Yeah. So he sent her to the temple in Stockholm, Sweden, which is bigger, for a few months. So, yeah. He got trained up, and then she came back to distribute books. So I remember that we were at having a kirtan at some guest's house, you know, standing up having a kirtan. And somehow she felt something was, she's wearing a sari, she felt something was loose underneath. And right in the middle of the kirtan, she just adjusted. It was dead art. Oh my God, what am I doing here? The reality of this. She just did it spontaneously, and I just without thinking. That's the need to put her sorry back. If I didn't build a cure, I won't borrow the ecstasy. You know? I say, oh, Krista, do it here. So, like, things like that happen. Vibrations you pick up from others, and your head starts to spin a little bit. Hot, you know. But if you know how to cleanse yourself through the holy name, take the shelter of Prabhupada's books, then you're right. You have to know how to stabilize yourself. The main problem is when devotees think, I have a desire, therefore it must be fulfilled. Because I have a desire. This is the overlording tendency. This is why you're in the material world. You think, we think we're Krishna. Krishna has this such a sankalpa shakti, this potency, which fulfills his own desires. He has a desire, automatically the desire is fulfilled. So we think we're like that. We're facing Krishna. Oh, guess what? I have a desire. So the whole world should now conform to my desire. You have to learn how to look your desires straight in the eye through the lens of reflection and discrimination. And deal with these things in a constructive way. Everyone's coming out of this Kali Yuga instant culture where everything has to be instant. All sense gratification is instant. As soon as you feel something, you gotta do it. So if you can see how this illusion operates and stay out of it, then you'll be great. You'll be successful in this spiritual life. At least you should have some period of your life in which you are trained to set aside your immediate desires. It's very important. Just to prove to yourself you can do it. Hopefully it'll be all your life. But at least a period of your life. Just to prove it can be done. Otherwise, this whole degraded culture is simply presenting, you have a body, you have a senses, you have senses, you know what that means. Body, senses. Real human culture is one of restraint. Try to understand that. Real human culture begins with restraint. Making your senses and mind conform to a pre-arranged program. That's where you get strength from. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, a yogi is one who controls his senses according to a pre-arranged plan. Now this is totally unheard of in today's culture. What's the plan in today's culture? Whatever you feel at the moment. You feel a certain way? Act on it, of course. But no. Real human life means that you use your senses according to a predetermined plan. Then you develop strength. It sounds very exotic, Andy. Yes, we're not following the so-called culture of today. We're not following it. We'll be finished if we do. So our emphasis is on developing personal stamina, personal volition, willpower. At least have that experience for some part of your life. When we've done our job. Just get that experience, you can do it. And even throughout the complexities and entanglements of life, if you run into those kind of things, you'll remember, there was a time when I took a stand, I controlled my mind and senses, and I was peaceful. And that will always stay with you. Of course, we like that everyone ends up being a first-class devotee, whether householder or not. The Brahmacharya, we like everyone is first-class, but we don't sometimes devotees go through these spells later in their life. So therefore it's very important now to get the experience of living with unfulfilled desires. I know it's uncomfortable at first, yeah. Think about living with unfulfilled desires. Life looks like a complete failure. Success means living with instantly fulfilled desires, instant gratification. That's success. Yes. That's what society is screaming at you. Meanwhile, by following the process of bhakti, you're all becoming so effulgent and so equipped with all good qualities. This is what's happening while the storm of Maya is raging all around. Meanwhile, you're developing good qualities and Krishna consciousness. So I think this is the heart of the issue. Living with unfulfilled material desires. All the society is telling you it's not possible. It's not possible. And Krishna is saying it is possible. How is it possible? By working to fulfill Krishna's desires. So I can see last night happiness that comes from working to fulfill Krishna's desires. Spirit of sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure. Who else did I talk to last night? I talked to Allison. She's coming in for a landing.
What was landing? Oh, I don't know who I have. Yes, if she associates, yes.
Told me she is, but I'll see. And Asharani, talking about wanting to live with the devotees and of the school. She told me after she did her OE, her overseas experience, you were right. The most horrible place was England. I was so degraded. I guess she had the Kiwi romantic vision of England, you know, London. She got there. Oh, so degraded. It's not stop intoxication and degradation. But and of course, I talked to Anne yesterday. We can stay engaged in devotional service. Very good. I thought he had been illuminated by the have a Sushant chakra or something. He told me, I think I might try to book distribution. He must come over you. He wants to see a bit of the sights too. I told him what actually happened. So it's very nice. Have any of you met anybody on the street who remembers the old law? Yeah, I was always amazed how Gopalade always told me that people, the word was all around and people remembered it. He said they were always asking him, when is it going to happen again? So, I think the next step is to try to build up a student lunch program. In all those student housing around, there's private student housing, yes? Isn't that mostly Asians? Or as his father was saying, that's what happens, that the wealthy Chinese and like that, they just buy a flat, for the, a little tiny flat for the kid in these student houses and give an expense account. Doesn't seem like a Kiwi way of doing things. I want your student to buy that. You have your parents buy a flat for you. Well, that's what all those buildings are, you know. I didn't know. He told me that the old railway station had been converted into student flats. Yeah. I can't imagine New Zealander buying a student flat. Well, that's some ages. What do you think, Marjorie?
As investments, they can buy and then rent it out.
To who?
To the Asians.
Right. what I'm saying is no New Zealand student. I can't imagine a New Zealand student's parents buying them before, unless they're super wealthy. The rare super wealthy. So probably, you have to see, but the campus, the center campus is just a 10-minute walk. Is that it? There's some stairs I heard that go. Someone was telling me this is, yes? This is stairs, so they come down. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we need to get the student flow going. Okay.
Punjabi Heart.
This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canon, chapter 21, text 18. It's spoken by Lord Chaitanya. So we're reading it from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a short purport. Pantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Pantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Yad Ramakrishna Charanasparasha Pramodha.
Yad Ramakrishna Charanasparasha Pramodha.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoyat.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoyat.
Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kanda Mulai.
Paniya Suya Vasakandara
Kanda Mulai. Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspadasya Pramodha.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspadasya Pramodha.
Mananjanoti sahago ganayos tayoya.
Mananjanoti sahago ganayos tayoya.
Paniya suya vasa kandara kanda mulai.
Paniya suya vasa
kandara kanda mulai. Hantaya madhya bala haridasa vayo.
Hantaya madhya bala haridasa vayo.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodha.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodha.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoya.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoya.
Pani Yesuya Vasakanda Rakanda Mulai.
Pani Yesuya Vasakanda Rakanda Mulai.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspara Shakta Modaha.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspara Shakta Modaha.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayo Yat.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayo Yat.
Pani Yasuya Vasakandaya Kandamulai.
Hantaya
Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Svarasya Pramoda.
Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Svarasya Pramoda.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoya.
Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoya.
Pani Yasuya Vasa Kandara Kanda Mulai.
Pani Yasuya Vasa Kandara Kanda Mulai.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasa Vayo.
Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parashapamoda.
Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parashapamoda.
Manantanati Sargo Ganayos Tayoyat.
Manantanati Sargo Ganayos Tayoyat.
Paniya Suya Vasa Kandara Kanda Mulai.
Paniya Suya Vasa Kandara Kanda Mulai.
Savaya,
Haridasavaya,
the best among the servants of the Lord.
The best among the servants of the Lord.
Yet,
yes.
Because
Ramakrishna
Charanam, of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and Balaram,
Sparasha,
by the touch,
Pramoda,
jubilant. Manam,
respects.
Tanoti,
offers.
Saha,
with.
Go Ganayo,
Go,
cows, and cowherd boys.
Cows,
cowherd
boys.
Teo, to them. Sri Krishna and Balaram.
Yat,
because.
Paniya,
drinking water.
Suryavasa,
very soft grass.
Kanda,
caves.
Kanda
Mulai.
Kanda Mulai.
And my roots.
Translation.
Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, as well as their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking. Very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. It was spoken by the gopis when Lord Krishna and Balaram entered the forest in the autumn. The gopis spoke among themselves and glorified Krishna and Balaram for their pastime. Om Agyana Chinandasa Janashraya Chakshu Muditami Tasmai Shri Padma Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
How can we get more here? Well, if that door is open, is that enough?
Slowly more.
Huh?
Slowly more. Okay.
that's okay for you. You can experience the kiwi breeze as well. This is very nice, coming back from England and experiencing the breezes of kiwi located. I prefer the breezes of Redback. 4 days, I get my chance. You all have your chance. 1 month, most of you. I'll get just 9 days. See, you get better than I get. Repeat the translation. You can repeat after me. These are the gopis speaking. No. I'd also attend to. I always do your work completely surrounded. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, as well as their calves, cows and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking,
very soft grass,
caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Krishna and Balaram are entering the forest with the cowherd boys, and the gopis are actually hoping for a rendezvous with Krishna. They're glorifying Govardhan Hill, and they know Govardhan Hill, it fulfills all the desires of Krishna and the cowherd boys because of all the facilities it offers. As you heard, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables. So, the cowherd ladies, the cowherd girls up and down are hoping, just like Govardhan Hill fulfills the desires of Krishna, Balaram, and their associates. We're actually praying that Govardhan Hill will fulfill our desire to be with Krishna. We want to go to the forest to meet with Krishna. So we're hoping that Govardhan Hill will fulfill that desire. They're thinking, we'll go first to Manasi Ganga. Those of you who went to Vrindavan, you saw Manasi Ganga. And there is the temple of Haridev. So the gopis thought, we'll first go bathe in Manasi Ganga. We'll worship Haridev. That's the system, the traditional system in person, approaching Govardhan Hill. And surely our parents will not object. We're just bathing in the Manasi Ganga, worshiping Haridev. Why should our elders object? Of course, later we'll sneak off to the forest center to find Krishna. In other words, as far as our parents know, we're doing our traditional worship, bathing in Manasi Ganga, worshiping Haridev Deity. What's the problem? But secretly they're hoping that Govardhan Hill would fulfill their desires to meet up with Krishna, especially it's autumn season. Krishna is known as Sharat Bihari, the enjoyer of the autumn season. Especially that is the time for Krishna's Rasa Lila, the last day, I believe, of Karti, November 28th or 27th, something like that. That's Krishna's Rasa Purnima, night, full moon night of Krishna's Rasa Lila. So the autumn season is very beautiful. And Krishna and Balaram, they're entering the forest in the autumn. So the gopis are glorifying Govardhan Hill for the reason we just explained. And also there's another reason. As stated here, Haridasa Varya. This hill, Ayam Adri, It's Haridas Varya, the best among the servants of the Lord. So this way, the gopis are acknowledging that if you want to approach the Lord, you approach through the devotee. And Govardhan Hill is the best devotee. Govardhan Hill is considered in two ways, as the best devotee of the Lord and as the Lord himself. Krishna demonstrated this during the Govardhan Leela, when he manifested as Govardhan Hill and ate all the offerings. So, Govardhan Hill is known as Haridas, servant of Lord Hari. There are three named Haridases in the Shastra. There's Yudhisthira, he's referred to as Haridas in his celebration of the Rajasuya Yajna. He put on such an extraordinarily opulent yajna or sacrifice to glorify Krishna. So he was celebrated as Haridas, devotee of Lord Hari in that context. And then Uddhava is also known as Haridas Uddhava, the servant of Lord Hari. He was sent by Lord Krishna to Vrindavan to deliver a message to the residents of Vrindavan and to also study the pure love of the residents of Vrindavan. As Haridas in that context. But Govardhan Hill is known as Haridas Varya, the best of all the Haridasas, the best of all the servants of the Lord. And how does Govardhan Hill serve the Lord? What does it supply the Lord? Not only the Lord, but Balaram too, the calves, cows, cowherd friends. They get all kinds of necessities. You should always know what your necessities are. We're always trying to remind you. Lord Chaitanya says that the highest necessity in life is love of God. Prema kumarta maha. There's no greater necessity than that. That is your actual desire, love of Krishna. Sometimes we forget that. But that is the actual necessity. People like to talk about getting the necessities of life. The real necessity of life is love of God. Now, the residents of Vrindavan, associated with Krishna and Balaram, they're living the experience of love of God. So therefore, everything in relation to them is all contributing to the love of God dynamics. The water, the grass, the caves, the fruits, flowers, vegetables, it's all 100% part of the Krishna Prime experience. Let's first take Paniya, the drinking water. This drinking water is coming from waterfalls and it's very sweet and nectarian. Krishna and Balaram, they drink it. They also use that water to wash their feet, wash their mouth. Besides the fresh drinking water coming from the mountain streams and the waterfalls, there's all sorts of fruit juice, mango juice, like that. So, it's all for the pleasure of Krishna Balaram, the cowherd boy. And then, what else is there? Part of the scene, very artistically beautiful scene, pure love of Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan is conscious, there's no matter. Everything is a devotee, everything is someone. And so the soft grass, the acharyas point out there are two types of grass there on Govardhan Hill. There's the grass especially appropriate for yajnas, for sacrifice. And then there's the grass that's especially appropriate for the cows to eat. That grass is soft and succulent, and it makes the cows very productive in milk, makes them healthy. So Govardhan Hill is doing that, providing such two types of grass, for yajnas done by the brahmanas, and for food taken by the cows. And then there are, of course, fruits and flowers and vegetables supplied by Govardhan Hill. And then we cannot forget the caves, Tundra. The caves and Govardhan Hill. Krishna and Balaram, they go in these caves during the day, either to find a cool place in the summer or a warm place in the winter. Of course, there's no... The threefold miseries don't exist in Vrindavan. Krishna is just reacting to the variegatedness in different ways for his own sweet pleasure. Maybe difficult to understand, but just remember, Krishna has no material body. So he would lie down in these caves with Balaram and Calvary. And then the caves were also the site of more intimate pastimes with the gopis. Lord Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll talk about how he got a glimpse of Radha Krishna Leela, and then Radha Krishna disappeared into a cave. And just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya's associates, they woke him from his ecstatic condition. So Lord Chaitanya was lamenting, oh, I saw Krishna, I had a chance to be with Krishna, and then you all woke me up. He disappeared into a cave, Shri Radha and Krishna. And then I heard this loud sound. It was his associates bringing him back to external consciousness. Besides these things, Govardhan Hill also supplies jewels and mirrors. How does it supply mirrors? In the form of glistening rocks, you can see your reflection on it. And also bodies of water, you can see your reflection on it. Now, we read here that in this way the hill offers respects to the Lord, being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Govardhan Hill is a person. It's a devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. That's why during Chaitanya Leela, Lord Chaitanya laid down the standard of never walking on Govardhan Hill. Followers of Lord Chaitanya don't walk on Govardhan Hill. Other sampradayas you may see walking. But those of Lord Chaitanya's sampradayas do not walk on Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is a devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. So this is a very wonderful part of our Krishna conscious life. Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. You've never seen a jubilant hill. But those of you who went to Vrindavan, you circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Yeah? You circumambulate Govardhan Hill, you would understand how this is no ordinary hill. So, this hill, in its ecstasy, what does it do? It's touched by Ram Krishna Charan, the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. The Acharyas describe that the rocks on Govardhan become like mud when Krishna walks on them in order to capture the imprint from his foot. The symbols on the soles of the feet that are there. And also, touched by the lotus feet of the Lord, Ram Krishna Charan, the Govardhan Hill, it perspires. One of the symptoms of ecstasy, aspasatvika, trembling, perspiration, tears shooting from the eyes. So how does Govardhan Hill display the ecstatic symptoms of pure love? The perspiration comes in the form of melting rocks. And the tears, they come in the form of waterfalls. And then what about hair standing on end? That's the grass that goes around, stands up straight. There's no one else next to So it's very nice that so many of you went to Vrindavan. You can see this is an ordinary place. Yes, everyone had that feeling. Yes. Krishna consciousness came to life here, yes? Yes, you saw it. Instead of thinking this is some kind of, it's like Gaurakshi's father asked me yesterday. So, in India, is this kind of like a splinter group in India or something? I said, no, this is the main thing in India. It's the orthodox expression of the main thing. You don't know until you see it. You realize it, Millions of people are practicing Krishna consciousness. Maybe not as strictly as you are doing now, but still, millions of people identify Krishna consciousness. So it's good to see that. Otherwise, you think, this is just one little, we are just a little ashram, doing the Hari thing. So few of us. But when you went to India, to Vrindavan, to Holy Dham, everything came to life, what you've been reading about. Yes, you went to Nandagram, Barsana, you all went to Govardhan, where else? So, there, you saw it. Everything was there. And you could sense this is not an ordinary, normal atmosphere, right? That's very good. So you can read up Krishna's the dear Govardhan Hill and Father. So we'll speak about that tomorrow. Am I supposed to, when am I supposed to be class tomorrow?
Yeah,
I should
be ready
for
tomorrow.
Okay.
You have to.
I don't have to, what
does that mean? Well, we didn't tell them that you were going to class at the 10th of tomorrow. Just
in
that
class. I thought I put that in my email. I didn't. I just have to call them. I'm going to speak about Govardhan Hill. Any questions? Yes.
You spoke of melting rock. What is the melting rock from Govardhan?
Melting rock?
It's like the eyes, like the water, the chairs of Govardhan, the waterfall, and the rock. And
perspiration, ecstasy.
Is melting rock.
Yeah.
What's melting rock?
Rocks that melt. Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
The volcanoes.
No need to speculate. You have to have some spiritual vision to see that. Did you see the grass standing up erect and ecstasy, the hair standing on it? Get the vision, spiritual vision, you'll see that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Very much. Don't you tell me this is going to be this? That's an ecstatic love, and that's the topmost thing. Why are those devotees always projecting on from this experience?
They don't. When he's in his private, they don't. But they help, they know the Lord's desire is not to display these ecstatic symptoms in public. They know that's his desire. And also sometimes Lord Chaitanya would leave his room blinded by ecstasy and love of Krishna and go throughout the Jagannath Puri, and they had to search for him and find him in all sorts of places, and would be lost all external consciousness. So they were being protected. Devotees of the Lord don't like showing ecstatic symptoms in public. Sahajiyas do. They fool innocent people. I don't know if you saw any of them down rolling on the ground or that kind of stuff. Did you see any of that? They just put on a show of all the so-called ecstatic symptoms. Where people think, oh, this is a great devotee. But the actual great devotees never, they always restrict themselves from showing ecstasy in public. Sometimes it happens that it wells up in them. I saw Srila Prabhupada's case. I was sitting right in front of him, who was speaking of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. I saw the tears shoot from his eyes like a shot from a surge. And his voice started cracking. Just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So kind. No one knows Krishna, but still he's giving Krishna. His voice cracked, and the tears shot from his eyes. This 1 minute into his lecture, he just stopped his lecture, got up at the asana into his room. Sometimes foolish people become fooled by sahajiyas. Oh, I saw him, he was crying. He must be a pure devotee of the Lord. He was rolling on the floor. It's not recommended that unqualified devotees spend more than 3 days in Vrindavan because they start making offenses. Vrindavan is a place actually for Goswamis. It's like, I don't know if you noticed, but unfortunately, Krishna Balaram Mandir has become like a marriage hunting ground. People come from all over the world to find their partner. I think they're going to change that. That's not what Prabhupada had in mind. So for that reason, it's not as advised that those who don't have the spiritual strength should stay in Vrindavan 1 or 2 days. There's no accumulated offenses. You can make 10 times more advancement by doing devotional activities in Vrindavan, and your offenses count 10 times more. That's the fast lane. You have to be very careful driving in the fast lane. You know, like in the Autobahn. The left lane on the Autobahn. You have to be very careful.
Excuse me, sir. About how gain the benefit of going to Vrindavan and say, for instance, if you don't want to go downhill. Tony, if you could explain a little more about how Prabhupada's move of preaching in the West, the benefits of doing that is compared to actually doing those activities in Vrindavan.
Prabhupada preached East and West. That's a good thing, the West. In India also. His idea was that devotees would preach vigorously throughout the world and then rejuvenate themselves in the holy grounds. I would explain that. You can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. go there by service. It's not a place that's perceived by material senses. What does it look like to material senses? Not much. But your spiritual senses delight. It's like I told some of you. You work hard, and when you go to Vrindavan, Krishna will reciprocate with you. So that was the sweet ending to the Manchester experience. That was all worth it. It's like everything must end sweetly. Damodarastic prayers, they end very sweetly. Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya Namo Nantanivaya Devaya Jukaya. And I've mentioned Srimati Radharani and Krishna's unlimited pastimes and his complex associates with Rupa. So everything must end sweetly. Like after you finish a meal, you take a sweet. So I said, Manchester austerities. The main bird took the sweet. That's how everything ended. And then, if you worked hard and sacrificed for Krishna, you'll feel Krishna's reciprocation. Hare Krishna, all glory to you.
Thank you.
Is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yashoda, but who has been caught from behind by her who ran after him with greater speed to that Supreme Lord, Sri Ramadan, from the heavenly.
He is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two bare hands, his eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is like the three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing through the crying. To the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes, but with his mother's pure life, right from my humble obeisances.
By such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning in hindrance and God calling pools for ecstasy. He is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of the Supreme Majesty and Godliness that he is wholly conquered by devotees, whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of all endeavors. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to the Dhamma hundreds and hundreds of times.
O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you to the good of first liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in my kingdom, nor can you ever do. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours, the Father Gopal and Vrindavan, may have been manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides these?
Thanks.
the lover's place, which is encircled by lots of soft, red curtains of fig, is kissed again and again by Mother's shoulder, and your lips are rich like a bundle of fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lover's face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me.
O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you. O Dhammaja, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master, O my Lord, be pleased upon me. O sharing your glance of mercy upon me, deliver this poor ignorant fool who is immersed in the oppression of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes.
O Lord Dhammaja, just as the two sons of Kuvara, Manikrit and Manikrivara, were delivered from the curse of Narad and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby, tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar. In the same way, please give to me your own prana bhakti. I only long for this and have no desire for any kind of liberation.
O Lakamada, first of all, offer my obeisances to the Brahmi, the golden robe, which binds the belly. I then offer my obeisances to the belly, which is the abode of the entire universe. I humbly bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, with this place, unlimited pastimes.
I'm going to do a Prabhupada's Guru Puja.